Welcome, dear friends, on this 4th of July weekend. Certainly, it's not exactly what we expected, but my prayer is that you'll be refreshed and restored in new ways. And now let us begin our time of worship with a word of prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, we admit that we worry about tomorrow, even though you tell us not to be anxious. Send your spirit this day to quiet our distractions and to draw us to you so that we might know the peace of your close presence. We pray a special blessing on all our church family and beyond. May all know that they are loved and cherished. Lord, we rejoice in the beauty of your creation that surrounds us no matter the upheaval around and within us. We pray that you would take all our offerings, given in faith, and use them to your glory, to bless those deepest in need. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And now let's welcome Richard Bruxford Colligan as he leads us in song based on our first lesson from Psalm 145.
Friends, Psalm 145 at the beginning goes like this: The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and abounding in unfailing love. This first part of Psalm 145 must be pretty important in the Older Testament, because that little chunk also shows up in Psalm 103, Psalm 86, it's in Numbers 14, and in Nehemiah 9, maybe other places too. For some reason, this little piece is a motif that shows up in different places. We're going to sing this morning. There's two parts to this little song. I'll teach you the first part, and we'll sing it. I'll teach you the second part, and we'll sing that. And then we'll kind of put them together. It goes like this. You are slow to anger, full of compassion, abounding in unfailing love. You are slow to anger, full of compassion, slow to anger, full of compassion, abounding in unfailing love. You are slow to anger, full of compassion, abounding in unfailing love. One more time. You are slow to anger, full of compassion, abounding in unfailing love. You are slow to anger, full of compassion, abounding in unfailing love. Part two goes like this, listen. Teach us your way, and we will walk. We will walk in it. Just your way, and we will walk. We will walk in it. Sing with me. Teach us your way, and we will walk. We will walk in it. Teach us your way. We will walk in it. One more time. Teach us your way, and we will walk. We will walk in it. Teach us your way, and we will walk. We will walk in it. Yeah. Now these two parts can go together. I'll start you out on part one. If you want to keep singing that all the way through, feel free. Or you can shift to part two when I do. You are slow. You are slow to anger, full of compassion, abounding in unfailing love. You are slow to anger, full of compassion, abounding in unfailing love. Together. slow to anger, full of compassion, abounding in unfailing. Keep going with that, or sing with me. Teach us your way.
Such reassuring words. Our second lesson comes from Matthew 11, verses 25 through 30. Hear God's word from Matthew. Abruptly, Jesus broke into prayer. Thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You've concealed your ways from sophisticates and know-it-alls, but spell them out clearly to ordinary people. Yes, Father, that's the way you like to work. Jesus resumed talking to the people. But now tenderly, the Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father-Son operation, coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, or the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay everything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. May God give us understanding. Let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. So how are you doing right now? I mean, really, how are you doing? There's an old Peanuts comic strip that comes to mind. It shows Linus holding onto his beloved blanket, and the caption reads, "Only 1 yard of flannel stands between me and a nervous breakdown." Well, it may not be a yard of flannel that's keeping us from going over the edge right now, but I think most of us are feeling just a little stressed. Am I right? A few years ago, the Comprehensive Care Corporation of Tampa, Florida, published a booklet about stress in our modern world. And it said, 1 out of 4 of the American people, that's 25%, suffers from mild to moderate depression, anxiety, loneliness, and other painful symptoms, which are attributed mainly to stress. 4 out of 5 adult family members, it said, recognizes a need for less stress in their daily lives. Approximately half of all diseases can be linked to stress-related origins, including ulcers, colitis, bronchial asthma, high blood pressure, and some forms of cancer. It says that unmanaged stress is the leading factor in homicides, suicides, child abuse, spouse abuse, and other aggravated assaults. And finally, it said the problem of stress is taking a tremendous toll economically. Also, in our nation alone, we Americans are now spending $64.9 billion a year trying to deal with the issue of stress. Now, keep in mind, that study was done several years ago, and the facts were disturbing enough then, but imagine the numbers if the study was done now. So if you're feeling stressed right now, you're not alone. And even more important, you need to know that there is hope. As James Moore reminds us, he says, when we feel stressed out, there's help and there's comfort and there's healing and there's peace for our troubled souls. Where, do you ask? Well, Jesus shared the answer a long time ago when he said to his stressed out disciples, "Come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all who are burdened and exhausted and stressed out, and I will give you peace and comfort and strength." You know, it reminds me of a story I heard about how along the rural trails of India, every now and then as you walk along, you come to a post about shoulder high with a strong shelf built on it. Those posts are called somatanga, and people who walk the roads carrying loads on their backs can stop at a somatanga, which means resting place. And there they place their heavy load on the shelf and they rest a while before continuing on their journey. It's not surprising that new Christians in India actually call Christ my somatanga, the one who gives me rest, the one who takes on my burdens, the one who renews my strength. It's a beautiful image, isn't it? Sadly, too often, we kind of forget that Christ is our strength. We think that we need to fix everything ourselves. And we go after the wrong things and hope that somehow it will ease our suffering. Typically, we try to run from it, or we try to ignore it, or we try to push through it, none of which really works. Stress is exhausting, and it really takes a huge toll on all of us. In our current situation, we're seeing it result in bad behaviors, tempers flaring, with people making bad decisions that can be harmful to themselves and others. Listen, I don't think there's anyone who isn't totally tired of this new normal. I don't think there's anyone who doesn't want to be free to just come and go as we wish, and who doesn't want to feel free to be with the people that we care about, to just do what we'd like to do. The list is long. And it's really strange. Here we are at this holiday weekend, one that we always considered to be a break, a weekend we always look forward to as a time to rest, to get recharged. And truth be told, it's not like anything we really expected, is it? And that's why today's lesson is so important. You see, Jesus' disciples, not surprisingly, were very stressed out, very tired. And what did Jesus tell them? He said, "Come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He was essentially telling them, in times of need, you will receive the strength you need from beyond. Rabbi Harold Kirshner reflects on this further. He says, "I have seen weak people become strong," he writes. "Timid people become brave. Selfish people become generous. I've seen people care for their elderly parents, for brain-damaged children, for wives in wheelchairs, for years, even decades. And I've asked myself, where do people get the strength to keep doing that for so long? Where do they get the resources of love and loyalty to keep going? And the only answer I come up with is when we're weary and out of strength, we turn to God, and God renews our strength so we can run and not grow weary, so that we can walk and not feel faint. You see, one of our big obstacles is that we think it's all about the doing, and we feel we have to do it ourselves. We talk about God, we talk about our faith, but do we really trust Him? Do we really put ourselves into His care, or do we just try to carry it alone? Do we give ourselves the time to stop and center in Him, to be restored and strengthened for the lives and the work He calls us to? Or do we just rush on in our busyness? There's an old story about how one day a man challenged another man to an all-day wood chopping contest. The challenger worked very hard, stopping only for a brief lunch break. And the other man had a leisurely lunch. He took several breaks during the day. And at the end of the day, the challenger was shocked and a little annoyed to find that the other fellow had actually chopped away more wood than he had. He said, I just don't get it. Every time I checked, you were taking a rest. Yet you chopped more wood than I did. But what you didn't notice, said the winning woodsman, is that I was sharpening my axe when I sat down to rest. You know, right now, we need more than ever to turn to God. For when we rest in Him, we too are sharpening our axe. I want to close with this invitation from Lily Lewin. She says, imagine all the burdens weighing you down today. Now picture Jesus across from you. Reach across and place all these things in the hands of Jesus. Give these things into the hands of Jesus to hold and carry for you today. And know that Jesus will hold them and be in charge of them. You don't have to carry them anymore. Let Jesus hold these for you. You don't have to take them back. Wow. It's time for us to lay down our burdens too, my friends, and to remember that while God is far beyond our understanding, He's always by our side. And even though we may not be able to see or understand it, even now, God is doing a new thing, and He will give us rest. Let us pray. Merciful God, You reveal Your will to us through the Word and by the Spirit, but we confess we refuse to listen and follow too often. We do the very things we hate and then feel trapped in guilt and shame. We long to know the abundant life Jesus came to give, but neglect to take up His yoke and learn from Him. Forgive us for not doing that which we know to do. Forgive us for not being who You call and create us to be. Accept our confession and free us yet again from the burdens we can no longer bear. And Lord, hear our silent prayers of confession. Amen. My friends, know that God hears us. And in Jesus Christ, we are indeed forgiven. Let us now continue in prayers led by Jill Duffield. Let us welcome her.
Let us join together in the prayers of the people on this fifth Sunday after Pentecost. Let us pray. Holy God, we enter this time of prayer mindful of our inability to be content. We are restless and dissatisfied, even when we have all we need and then some. Instead of giving thanks for that which we have, we lament that which we feel we lack. We burden ourselves with things that do not offer that which they promise. We burden others with expectations they cannot possibly meet. We burden creation with our relentless abuse of the earth and its creatures. As we pause to acknowledge our total dependence on you, reveal to us the abundance you pour out upon your people. Lord, we rejoice in the myriad of colors that show your glory around every corner. The green leaves on the trees, the oranges and purples and pinks of blooming flowers, the flash of the red cardinal and the shiny black of the crow. Help us to stop and notice the beauty you so lavishly create and share. We celebrate the goodness you embed in humanity. We look for the helpers, the healers, the teachers, mentors, leaders, and encouragers who spend their lives looking to the interests of others, seeking to serve rather than be served. We give thanks for those closest to us, the people who love us at our worst, cheer us when we are at our lowest, care for us when we are at our weakest, and want for us what is best. They show us what it means to be called beloved and significant. We praise you for the gift of this day, whatever it entails, knowing that you are present with us, that Christ prays for us, that the Spirit intercedes for us. We rest in these promises so that emboldened by your power, we can share these truths with those yet to know of their priceless worth in your eyes. We lament the suffering so pervasive in our world. We cry out to you with sighs too deep for words, for those who go to bed hungry, for the people fearing for their lives, for the vulnerable too long exploited, and your children denied justice. We lift up to you the sick and the brokenhearted, the lonely and the impoverished. As we are yoked to Christ, yoke us to those who need their burdens lightened and their souls refreshed. We make our prayer in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to say when we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
My friends, these are indeed challenging times, and it's difficult to know what lies ahead. But let's not be held captive by our stress, because we know who holds tomorrow. So now may you go in God's love, God's strength, God's mercy. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen, and God bless you.